Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Life Church Canton podcast. My name is Jared Van Voorst, and I'm one of the pastors here at Life Church. Hope you're having a wonderful day, and I'm excited for you to be able to hear this message from our guest pastor and friend, Vincent Tinch. And he's going to be continuing us in our series called New Life. He's going to be specifically talking about new life in fear. How do you have both new life in Jesus, but also still experience fears? Both things can be true at the same time. And so he's going to walk us through a message and a passage from John chapter 20. And it's a story that immediately follows the resurrection. But these disciples are very afraid about what's going on outside the doors, the locked doors. So you're going to hear more about that in just a second. But also, I want to invite you, as always, to be generous and to give to what Life Church is doing in our community and makes things like this podcast available, as well as other content. And we are working towards being a greater impact in our wider community outside our walls. So I encourage you to do that. Now, enjoy the message from Pastor Vincent.
If you ever had to seek the Lord and he answered, somebody make some noise in this place. Oh my goodness, I don't know about you, but I'm praying for a few things and I'm seeking the Lord and I'm expecting an answer. My goodness today. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Vincent and I'm just so excited to be here today. I know this is the second service, it feels like the first. Quit playing. All right, I'm a servant of God, just really happy to be here. Thank you guys for the invitation. Just excited to be here. And I am not alone. I've learned in the first service not to look at my wife when I acknowledge her because she's so beautiful that she made me stutter. But I'm here with my wife, my beautiful wife. And I'm here with my four daughters. We call them effectively Tinch Nation. Let's give them a hand. Just thank them for being here today. Man, super excited. I cannot wait to get into this word that we have for you this morning. But before we get into it, I got to ask you a favor. I ask this favor every time that I come, but it's important, okay? It's super important. What I'm requesting for you to do, what I'm asking and begging you to do, is for you to share this service on your Facebook page. If you can just go to the Life Church Canton Facebook page, look down for when they were live, and share that. Why am I asking you to do that? I'm not asking you to do that because I want people to hear me. I'm not excited about them hearing my voice, okay? But what I'm doing, the reason why I'm doing that is because I believe in the power of the Word of God. I believe in this transformative power. And what we believe in the Life Church Network is this, is that there's no way that somebody could come in contact with the Word of God and leave the same way that they came. So what this is it's the easiest way that you can bring those people that you love in contact with the transformative Word of God to see a tangible change in their life. Is that a good thing? Don't clap if you ain't gonna share now. All right, go ahead. Listen, I want y'all to go ahead and share that while I pray for our time together. Check it out. I have consulted the scripture, and in all of the Ten Commandments, there is nothing against you sharing while I pray. So y'all go ahead and share. I know it might feel like a sin, but it ain't a sin, okay? Go ahead and share while I pray for our time together. Our Father and our God, we come before you grateful, God. Oh, man, for another chance to get in your word. I know it's living. I know that there are some things that you have that are for this service that may not be the same for the service prior. But whatever it is you have for us, breathe into us, Father. We open our hearts anew to your word, looking for what you have for us. We ask as the word goes forth that it accomplishes your will, that it accomplishes your mission, that it is truthful, that it is helpful, that it is pleasing in your sight. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Let every glad heart say amen. Your pastoral staff has done an amazing job coming up with another new series. And like, they always have these series that like challenge me and pull me in some different type of direction. And at this time, they had this scripture, New Life, which has really been affecting some of the things that I've been going through in my personal life. So me putting this sermon together has really even helped me in my own life as I've been going through it. But yeah, this one's called New Life. And so what is it about? It's about the new life that was established through the resurrection of Christ, right? And when we think about things that's new, we get excited about new stuff, right? How many people get excited when they get something new, huh? Yeah, okay. Maybe I got to be more specific. How many people love getting some new clothes? Come on, be active, right? I'm the only one being in the mirror like, Angles? So now listen. How about new car? How about that? How many people would love a new car? What? My 9-year-old is saying, he's like, I drive. And how about this? And when the new year come, right? The new year come, it'd be like, new year, new me. Do I got some new me's in the place? I got some new, I got some new me. She had a new me with attitude. She said, and so listen, but this is the thing. But what this series has been doing is paying attention to the irony of new life, right? Because in new life, we get excited about the new, but a lot of times what comes with the new is hard. And we don't pay attention to that part. We only focus on the new, but when we get to the part that's hard, we wonder, how do we deal with that? So we like new clothes, but how many people like new laundry? What happened to all the hands? Oh, we got one hand. One person will be doing laundry. I bet you a good husband, I bet. See, and not just that. If we like new cars, but how many people like the new car note? And the new insurance that keep raising every time they renew it. Y'all know what I see. Somebody laugh real extra hard, like that was a painful laugh. You know, like that's what I'm going through right now. And people, they love the, look, she raised her hand, like, the new me. How many people like the new me, but you like getting up at 5 a.m. when it's time to go to the gym? And trying to be consistent, like that consistency that is necessary. Matter of fact, if you're a foodie like me, you like the new you, new me, but how many people like giving up your favorite food? Yeah, hands went, oh, okay, yeah. I was like, see, this is the question that we're asking in the series, is how do we deal with things when they are unexpectedly hard? New life has taken us into some really hard things, and that's what we dealt with so far in the series. We opened up the series on Easter. We talked with new life and unknown. Because a lot of times when you get something new, there's a lot of unknown, and there's some uncomfortable things in the unknown. New life and dealing with death, right? Death is hard. New life and dealing with sadness was last week, right? And then this week, what we're going to do and what we're going to deal with, something that's very close to me, is dealing with new life and fear. In order to get our ideas for today's sermon, we're going to read John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. It reads like this in the NLT version. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. What we see in this text right here, and the way it starts out, is this. The disciples were meeting in a room behind locked doors because they are afraid. But Jesus is risen. But they got the new life. Jesus is risen. They have the new life, and they're still afraid. To take it further, the Bible goes as far as to say that God has not given us the spirit of fear. But they're afraid. The Bible speaks against fear in so many scriptures. It says, be anxious for nothing. But here we are with the disciples afraid. Before we start judging the disciples, let's do an internal survey. How many of us here in the room, after our decision to walk with Christ, have had to deal with fear? Let me raise two hands. I deal with fear all the time. Just trying to be honest. And this is the thing. In my observation of fear, this is what I've noticed. Fear is powerful. Fear is debilitating. Fear is dangerous. Why do I say it's dangerous? I say it's dangerous because fear can change the way that you see a situation, make it worse than what it actually is. Fear can affect the way you believe because you're afraid you don't trust God the way you're supposed to trust God or the way you used to trust God. Fear is dangerous, and fear can cause you to become stagnant and stuck in a place that you don't belong in. Fear is powerful. Now, here's the juxtaposition. The juxtaposition is this. Oftentimes, the promise of our future lies on the other side of what we fear. Let me say that again. Oftentimes, the promise of our future, the hope of our future, the thing that we hope for, is on the other side of what we fear. So although fear is powerful, although fear can be debilitating and it's dangerous and it can change the way that we see things, this is the truth right here, is that we have to get to a point where our belief in the promise of our future supersedes our fear. Otherwise, fear will rob us of our future. Here's an example. Israel was in captivity, in slavery, right? And God delivered them in a miraculous way. I'm talking about it was spectacular, miracle upon miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And then after they were delivered out of Egypt, they were on their way. And the largest army in the world, the most dangerous army, was chasing them, ready to kill them or take them back into captivity. And God did something miraculous. He split the Red Sea. They walked through on dry ground, and he drowned the entire army. So what I'm trying to say is that Israel had witnessed the miraculous powers of God. And God did not leave them with that. He said, look at this. I have a promise for you. There is some land that I want you to inherit. That's what we call the promised land, right? And here's Israel, who has witnessed the power of God. They've witnessed his miraculous power, but they decided not to trust it. They said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to send some spies into the land. They sent some spies into the land, and all but two of them came back with a report of fear. There's giants in the land, and if we try to go in the land, they're going to kill us. And because of that report of fear, Israel decided to act in fear and not go into the land. And because they decided to not go into the land and to depend on their fear more than their promise, what happened to them is they ended up dying in the place of their fear. They were robbed of their future, the promise that God had given them. Instead, they spent 40 years in the wilderness, and they died in the wilderness. There was only two survivors, and it was the two individuals who came back with a positive report. What I'm trying to get you to understand is my main point for today, and that's this. Fear happens, but don't let it rob you of your future. Yes, God has not given us the spirit of fear. That does not mean that we won't have to deal with it. Fear is one of the side effects of sin. In fact, the first time that we hear about fear in the Bible is right after man falls. Right? Adam and Eve, they're in the garden, they have promises from God. See, their promises are here. God tells them there's only one thing that they can't do. They decide not to listen to God. And anytime we decide not to listen to God and we go our own separate ways, that's sin. And after they decided to sin, we are told in the Bible that God is calling out, Adam, where are you? And Adam responds, God, I heard you, but I was afraid. Fear is a counterpart of sin. And because sin is here in the earth, we now have to deal with fear on a daily basis in our everyday lives, especially when we're trying to move into our promise. Like, I don't know about you guys, like whenever I'm starting a new job or entering a new project or a new stage in life, right? Think about it, like, right? Anybody ever, like, if, when you're about to start a new job, you have this fear, they call it imposter syndrome, where you feel like if you open your mouth, they're going to figure out that you're an idiot. Even though you're more than qualified for the thing that you've been called to do. There's the fear of failure, the fear of rejection. Whenever we talk about going into a new stage in life, do I have any parents in the house? Any parents? Y'all remember when y'all brought that first baby home? That's frightening. There's no instruction booklet. Nothing to tell you what to do. It's scary when you go into these different parts of life because it's fearful. And Scripture understands our plight. That God has not given us the spirit of fear, but yet we deal with fear on an everyday basis. But that's why when we look at Scripture, what we are able to glean from the Scripture is this truth. Not only does fear happen, but watch this. Believers have to deal with fear. It sounds contradictory, right? Because what we expect, you know, what we expect versus what we get. What we expect is this. We expect, hey, as soon as I believe, I'm good. Once I believe, I'm solid. Nothing can ever shake me. Whatever comes this way, I have the Spirit of Jesus. Stand back. But what we get is ourselves, right? When we look in the mirror, we see ourselves. We get believers who have to deal with fear on a daily basis. But what we have to understand is this. Salvation is immediate, it's instant, but sanctification takes time. What does that mean, right? There's some big words, right? Let's break it down. Salvation. Salvation means that you are saved. Saved from what? Saved from the consequences of your sin. So what does that mean? That means as soon as I repent and I turn and I walk with God, immediately my ticket to heaven is stamped. So whatever happens from here on out, boom. Going to heaven, all right? But sanctification, that's a weird word, ain't it? What does that mean? That means the ability to talk and to think and to act like Jesus. Somebody say that takes time. That takes time. You hear me? Sanctification is a process that involves growth. It involves transformation. It involves maturity. Sanctification takes time and the Bible understands this, and it also shows us this in action in the lives of the apostles, right? There's a story, and I want you to get in this story with me. Y'all with me? Come in with me, all right? They're on a boat. Now, y'all on a boat? Everybody on a boat? In the boat, a storm comes. And when a storm comes, it get what? Dark outside, right? So imagine now you're in the dark, and now the waves are coming. So you can't see, waves are crashing. Come on, rock with me now, y'all with me? Listen, now you're on a boat, right? And it's dark, it's pitch black, and it's rocking, and stuff like that. How many of y'all think this is scary already? The only light that you're getting is lightning, which is terrifying. And here they are, afraid. How many of y'all would be afraid in that same situation? I can't swim like that. And if I could swim in the middle of a pitch black storm in the middle of the ocean, come on now, this is scary stuff. And what do y'all think Jesus is doing at this time? Yell it out. What y'all think? Sleep. Can you imagine that? Here we go. Doom, doom, doom. What? Jesus is asleep while they think that they're about to die. And what they learn and what we have to learn, because watch this. This is what Jesus did. He got up, looked at the wind, told it to chill out. Okay, listen. Before I continue, chill out is not in your version of the Bible. okay? That's the Vincent Standard Version, okay? I'm just translating it so we can understand what's going on, okay? We good? He tells the wind to stop, and the wind stops. What they came to understand and what they came to realize and what we must come to realize is this. This is the truth. Jesus is bigger than any fear that we have. He's bigger than, listen, this is not cliche. This is a powerful understanding because their fear is not unfounded. They are in a place where they could actually die. The only realities that we know of that they have is when it talks about deep waters back in Job, where it talks about the Leviathan, which is has an untamable beast in the water. What? That's the only thing I got to look forward to falling into this water? Is an untamable beast? The fear that they have is understandable, and we face fears that are understandable every day. I don't know what you're facing. It could be a medical diagnosis where you found that you're going to have to deal with something that you didn't expect to have to deal with for the rest of your life. Maybe you got that diagnosis at a younger age than people who you've seen before, and now you got to deal with that. Maybe you have a diagnosis where you might lose someone who you love. Maybe you have to deal with chemotherapy, and you're praying that God would spare you so that you can actually make it to the end, and you're praying for healing. I don't know what it is that you're praying for. Maybe yours isn't even life and death. Maybe it's just the quality of life that you're going to have going forward here on this earth. Financial instability due to this economic upset that we're going through, or the uncertainty of this election that we're about to go through that is trying its best to split our country into temps, not even half. Whatever it is that you're going through, the fear is not unfounded. It's reasonable. But here are these disciples on this water and with this reasonable fear. What kills me is how Jesus deals with it. He says something very interesting. When he comes up, he don't start with, hey, weather, chill. Okay? He doesn't start with that. That's not the first thing he does. I know I skipped to the end and told you that part. But before that, the first thing that he does when he comes to the top. Is that my phone? Yeah, that's my phone. Tell him I'm talking with Jesus. We can't. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke that call. All right, listen. He gets there, right? And the first thing that he does not talk to the wind first. He looks at the disciples and says, these words, O ye of little faith. In other words, Jesus did not think the storm was the issue. Just like in the promised land, God didn't think that the giants were the issue. He said the issue is in us. In other words, we get this truth from that understanding. Oftentimes, when we face fear, our situation does not need to change. Our mindset does. This is not just preaching. Watch this. Jesus is not mad at the storm. God is not mad at the giants. Why would they be afraid of a storm when they have someone who can speak to the wind? God has been speaking to the wind since the Old Testament. This is not new hat for him. This is old hat. Why would they be afraid of the giants when they have a God who has just delivered them from the most powerful army in the world? Why are they afraid? Yes, fear happens. But this is the question we got to ask ourselves. Why are we afraid? Let's make it personal. Ask yourself, why am I afraid? When it was time to ask who deals with fear, I raised two hands. Why am I afraid? Truth is this, with all the knowledge that I have, all the wisdom. I don't know. My wife wouldn't agree with that. I don't know. I don't know why we're still afraid. That's something that we're going to have to deal with on a personal level and also collectively. We're going to have to work through that together as a family. But here's hope. Here's hope. We can turn to the scriptures and we can ask the scriptures this question. While we're wrestling with that other thing, we can ask the scriptures this. How do we overcome fear so it doesn't rob us of our future? That sound like a good question? And that's why I want to turn to our text for today. Because in our text for today, what we do, what we realize is that we have the disciples, they're locked up in a room. They're afraid. They got the doors, the Greek for it means barred. There's no way in, there's no way out. That's what fear gets you into. Gets you into positions where there's no way you can move. Right? And talk about knowledge and facts. If anybody has knowledge and facts, it's the disciples. Okay? Up until this point, they have witnessed Jesus heal. They have witnessed Jesus feed. And they have witnessed him doing the impossible. In fact, in this book of John, one of the apex moments, he brings Lazarus back from the dead. He shows he has power over life and death. Not only that, watch this. This is what's in the room, okay? In the room. They have valid testimonies of Jesus rising. Remember, we went through it a lot in this series, right? The two women that went to go anoint his body at the gravesite, then they were met with an angel. The angel tells them, hey, Jesus is not here. He has risen, right? So they go back and they tell Peter, right, and John, who run. You remember John told the story, and I ran faster than Peter. You know what I'm saying, right? And I got there first, right? He looks into the tomb, they're like, and then they remember, oh, everything that Jesus said was true. He was right. They're in the room. The scripture tells us that then Jesus appeared to Peter. So Peter has seen Jesus in his risen shape before this encounter that we're dealing with in scripture. And then there are two men who are just walking along, and Jesus appears to them. And the scripture tells us that after Jesus appears to them, that they go back to Jerusalem to tell everybody their testimony. So we know that in this room, they understand the power of Jesus. Yet, they are still afraid. Something else we know is this. They don't stay afraid. Right? Because that's what Acts is all about. Acts is the Acts of the Apostles, the next book. Right? What we see is they go out and they do all of these miraculous things and they live in the promise that God has for their life. So something happens from the beginning of our scripture to the beginning of Acts that we want to focus on so that we do not let fear rob us of our future. So let's lean in. Verse 19a says this, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. What I get from this scripture, this part of the scripture is this. In order for us to overcome our fear, we must acknowledge our fear. Because fear is human. Fear is something that we have to deal with because of the sin state of the world. And their fear makes sense because these Jewish leaders, they understand how sneaky they are, how conniving they are. These are the same Jewish leaders who conspired against Jesus. And they went and did everything that they could to circumvent the legal process. That's why they were dragging him from courtroom to courtroom. Courtroom, innocent. And they keep dragging him, right? And they're supposed to take him to some courtrooms, but then they take him to the father-in-law's house. Why are they taking him to somebody's father-in-law's house? Because they're trying to get what they need from the law. What they need from the law is either him to confess or they need two or three witnesses so that they can put him to death. But they don't have that. That's why you have Jesus answering questions the way that he answers them. And a lot of people try to use that in the Bible. Now, see how Jesus never said that I am this and I am that? Why he didn't say it? But this is the reason he doesn't say it. Because he is being dragged and they're trying to find him guilty. They drag him to one place. They say, are you the Lord? He said, you said it, not me. Because when he gets put to death, he has to be innocent. Because he's the sacrifice for our sins. And what the disciples in the room know is that those conniving Jewish leaders succeeded in killing the most powerful man on this earth. So they have a reason to be afraid. Fear makes sense. Watch this. If you didn't think it made sense, then let me try this. David, who is arguably the most famous king of Israel. Matter of fact, David is so up there that God says this about David. I didn't see him say about nobody else. He said, David was the apple of my eye. Now listen, if God ever said that about me, I'm going to have a t-shirt on. You know what I'm saying? When next time I come to Life Church, I'll be like, what's that t-shirt? Oh, God has said, you know, you read it. He has a resume, right? But listen, this is the thing about David. David's a worshiper. He likes to sing songs, right? And in Psalms, what he says, in Psalms, I think it's chapter 56, this is what he says in verse 3. He says these words, when I am afraid, even David, even the apple of God's eye has to deal with fear. So what we must do is realize that we're going to have to deal with fear and that our fear is reasonable so we can forgive ourselves. And acknowledge the fact that it's okay for us to fear. But that acknowledgement is not where we have to end, because acknowledgement alone is what gets you stuck in a room. Acknowledgement alone is what gets you afraid and gets you locking up barred doors and not moving towards your purpose. Acknowledgement is not where we stay, and acknowledgement is not where David stayed. Because if we continue in that verse, he says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Even though your fear is not unreasonable, we have to remember that Jesus is bigger than everything that we fear. But how big? How big is Jesus? How big is he? So big. You hear me? I hear you. Let's see how big he is in the scripture. Scripture continues. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed the wounds in his hand and on his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Somebody say, they saw the Lord. There's a lot to impact. Can we get into it? Is it okay? All right, cool beans. Just making sure y'all still with me. All right. So what I see in this scripture, the overall context of it is this. In order for us to overcome fear so it doesn't rob us of our future, we must remember the support that we have in Jesus. And he shows the support that we have in him in three ways in the text that we're dealing with today. The first way he shows it is his desire to be with us in our weakest moments. His desire to be with us when we're struggling the most. His desire to be right next to us. We have a God that we serve that gets down and dirty with us. He doesn't leave us alone so we fight our battles by ourselves. He says, I'm going to get down in the dirt with you and get right alongside you. The word says, when you are weak, I am strong. That's the promise that we have from our God. Oh, I got about half of y'all, but some of y'all are like, well, where did he say that at? I don't see that in the text. It says it right here. Suddenly, Jesus. They're in a locked room. There is no way for Jesus to get in the room. Jesus wanted to be with them so bad that he changed the way the world works. He walked through a wall so that he can be with them while they were struggling in their pain, while they were struggling in their fear. He wanted to make sure that he was by their side. Matter of fact, Luke puts it this way. He said they were startled when he showed up. That's how bad Jesus wants to be with you. The second way Jesus shows his support in the scripture is that he gives us his word, his amazing word, his word that is the substance of our life, that it gives us the ability to continue on. He gives us his word, and here is his word. His word is peace be with you. Shalom, which is a greeting, but it's so much more. It's a declaration over our life. I don't know what you're dealing with today. I don't know what situation that you have that is causing fear in your life. But here is the declaration for us all, that as we leave this place, that we don't leave here alone, but we leave here with the peace of God, the peace that surpasses all understanding, that doesn't make sense for us to have in this world. That's my declaration for you. And then the third way Jesus shows his support is he gives us his evidence. He showed them. He gives us his evidence that his word will never return unto him void. Every promise that he has ever given you, it will come to fruition. He continues to give us evidence to this day. He has given us the word of God that have withstand the challenges of the world for over 2,000 years. And every challenge that they bring to the word of God, it always fails. And they have to concede their point and come back to the word of God. God continues to give you that evidence right now, today. But when you get this type of support, there has to be some type of change in your life. And I don't know if you saw the change. Do y'all see the change? Anybody see the change? It says, suddenly who? Jesus, Yeshua. Suddenly Yeshua, which translates right now to Joshua. That's who they saw in the beginning. But in the end, who did they see? They saw who? The Lord, Kyrion. Why am I translating those? Because Jesus, Joshua, there's a lot of Joshuas, but there's only one Lord. See, what happens is, once you hear the word of God, once you come in contact with the word of God, once you receive the support of God, something has to change in you. And what it is that they realized something changed inside of them, is that as they went through and they saw the evidence, he went from just simply Jesus to the Lord. And that's what we have to do. We have to make him Lord of our life. We have to make him Lord of our problems, Lord of our situation, Lord of our fears. He's our Lord. There has to be a change. But what does that change look like? Let's go back in the text and find out. Y'all see it? Let me read it. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. What I get from this text right here is this. In order to overcome fear so it doesn't rob us of our future, we must change our mindset. It says they were filled with joy. After they received the evidence that Jesus gave them, they had joy. Remember I told you that he gives you the peace that surpasses all understanding? That means peace that don't make sense. This don't make no sense. Why? Because the situation hasn't changed. The same people that wanted to kill them still wants to kill them. They're still waiting for them to come out that room. But yet, already, they have joy. When you change your mindset, you realize that when you face your fears, you face them with faith. Faith that you are not alone because he sends you with things. Look at the three things that he sends us with. First thing he does, he sends us with his peace. You came into that room afraid. You came into the situation afraid. You came into the situation not understanding what you were going to do. And once you apply Jesus to the situation, you are going to leave this room with peace that doesn't make any sense, even when the situation hasn't changed. He sends you with his peace. The second thing he sends you with is his Holy Spirit. And look how intimate it is. It says, then he breathed on them. I don't know if y'all remember, Jared was talking about it last week, how in John, he is showing how every curse that happened in Genesis is being reversed. This is just the continuation of that. Now, it's back to that same imagery. where God has breathed into man and man has become a living soul. He's breathing back into them and regenerating them, taking them back to what they were meant to be so they can accomplish the purpose that they were meant to accomplish. He breathes back into them and they become again a living soul. They become the inhabitants of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was inside of Jesus as he walked this earth. That's the Spirit that is inside of them. Their bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit. They're not alone. It's this Spirit that leads them to all truth, knowledge, and understanding. So they'll know exactly what to do and when to do it. Third thing he sends them with is his purpose. His purpose is forgiveness. Now, this is a deep one. Let's go. People who study the Bible, this one is a big word. That forgiveness is regeneration. All right? Regeneration is that newness that we talked about before, how it's getting back to the beginning of what God had ultimately created you for. If you want to put an image in your head, think about your favorite car. And you see it, and it's all, somebody has one, it's all broke down, it's in the middle of a field, it's rusted out. The seats are all torn up, torn to shreds. It looks like it will never run again. But then comes along some guy who got time. You hear what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been to the Wilbur Dream Cruise? Y'all seen some guys that had time, haven't y'all? You hear? They got time, don't they? I'm talking about takes his time. Puts every piece back where it belongs. I'm talking about some of the pieces, they don't even make them anymore. Well, what does he do? He gets them customly fashioned because he wants this car to be exactly the way that it's supposed to be. He meticulously goes through all of the documents to make sure that the radio is back tuned the way it's supposed to be, the speakers are set the way they're supposed to be, and that the rims have the shine on them that they're supposed to have. He takes his time to take it back to brand new the way it was supposed to be when it first rode off the lot. And that is the purpose that you are sent out to do. You are sent out to give the world and deliver to them the forgiveness of God. The same type of forgiveness that gives them regeneration and empowers them to serve the purpose that they were born to serve. He gives us his purpose. That's all I got for y'all. Out of this text today. But can I at least challenge y'all? Can I challenge you? Before we go, before we get out, is that cool? Cool beans, let's do it this way. Here's my challenge to you. Don't let fear rob you of your future. How are you gonna do that? Let's do some practical ways. First thing I want you to do is do some self-reflection this week. I want you to think about the things that you're afraid of. Think about those things that you're dealing with that you wish you had more power over. I want you to take the time and actually journal those. Write them down. Because when you write things down, it really, really helps. Trust me. Because then it'll make it easier to do this next step. Next step, I want you to challenge your fears with the Word of God. I want you to go and search out scriptures. I don't care if you got to call one of the pastors here, whatever it takes. You want to put those scriptures on you. Why do I want you to do that? Because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Word of God, right? So when you do that, you are putting Jesus on your problems. And we already stated that Jesus is bigger than any problem that we've ever had. What does that look like? Watch this. This is what it looked like. Let me show it to you. I'm afraid of public speaking. You're like, no, seriously. Am I normally terrified before I come up here? My wife rubbed my back. Lord, you're going to be okay. God's going to bless you. You're going to be all right. I'm terrified of public speaking. But what I realize is that the Word of God says this. It says that I have to preach the Word in season and out of season. When I feel like it and when I don't feel like it. He tells me this. He tells me, he gave me this in the first one, that he'll give me what to say that self same hour when I go before the judges. That means when I come in front of y'all, I know you're judging me. But I'm trusting God to give me the right words to say that'll touch you in that seat right where you are. Despite my fear up here. So I just wanted you guys to see this as a real example of what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not doing myself. Amen? The last part of it is this. I want you to face your fears with faith. Like, okay, thank you, Pastor. How do I do that? Right? the scripture told us that. It told us it's with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, that leads us and guides us into all truth, knowledge, and understanding. The Holy Spirit is what we need. If anybody is here, I want to take the time to offer the Holy Spirit to you, because God offers it to us. If anybody here hasn't ever taken the time to pray that they receive the Holy Spirit, but you would love to receive the Holy Spirit, or maybe you have prayed for the Holy Spirit and have received it, but you just want to pray again. If that's you, can you just raise your hand? If anybody here wants to pray about the Holy Spirit, I just want to make sure I'm praying for the people that's in the room. Like, amen. All right, let's pray together. I want to pray for you. Father, we come before you today with a humble heart, acknowledging, God, our fears and our anxieties. Lord, your word tells us not to be afraid, because you are with us. We confess our fears and ask for your grace and strength to overcome them. We pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit to fill us, God, guide us, and empower us. Help us to trust your promises and to lean to your understanding, and to surrender our fears and worries into your loving hands. Lord, open our heart to welcome the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. May your Spirit dwell richly within us, transforming our thoughts, renewing our minds, and filling us with your peace, your love, and your joy. God, grant us the courage to face our fears with faith, and the wisdom to discern your will, and the strength to walk in your ways. Help us to focus on your truth, God, to meditate on your word, and abide in your presence. We ask this all in your Son Jesus' name. Let every glad heart say amen.
Once again, thank you so much for listening to this message. I hope it inspired you in some way. And if it did, please connect with us. Let us know so that you're not doing life alone. Now, you can do that by filling out a connect card on the links that we provide on our show page, or you can go to our website, lifecanton.org. And at the top of that page, there's an opportunity to connect. And if you'd like to get involved in some way, also, all of that is right there on the Connect card. If you want to serve, if you want to find a group to get into, if you want to start giving for the first time, all of that is there. And we would love to help you get involved so that you can experience belonging in our community. I do want to remind you that if you decide to start coming in person, we have a service at 9:30 and 11. But we are going down to one service just for the summer, from June 16 to September 1st, and then we'll come back to two services after Labor Day. But we are excited to get everybody together to see people that they might not normally see. And so if you're one of those people that wants to join us, we invite you to come be part of our community. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you back here soon.